So I'm quite jealous of you guys going to Italy and Lisbon and wherever. And I'm not jealous about the small apartment, but I'm just thinking about going on to a plane tomorrow. And this morning I want to actually share a brief message that's on my heart. It's been actually on my heart for quite a long time. And I was when Richard said I'm sick, I can't come. I was like, yeah, I think this message is it's a beautiful time to just bring it. And they're going on to a plane this morning. Tomorrow. Luckily, not this morning. And I was just thinking, imagine you are the pilot on that plane. And I know some of you are quite interested in planes and flying around to different places. And I was thinking about, you know, if you climb onto a plane from Joburg to Cape Town, roughly 1,200, 1,400 kilometers. And there's actually a study that they did. If you are flying that plane, and you go 1 degree off course, guess where you'll end up? From Joburg to Cape Town, if you go 1 degree off course, you'll end 20 kilometers away from your destination. So I just quickly had a quick look. 20 kilometers away from the airport is Table Mountain. You don't want to end up landing on Table Mountain where the plan was actually to land at Cape Town International Airport. And there's quite a significant thing about this because I think in our lives, we can often be 1 degree out and we don't realize it in the moment, but actually we end up not being where the Lord wants us to be. And so the small choices you make today, even if it feels insignificant, even if you feel like it's not a big deal in the moment, but over time, it actually compounds and it can actually land you in the wrong place. So I want us to get that your small decisions, the very small thing that you might be wrestling with, the little things in your life matters. The insignificant thing, it matters. Don't be 1 degree off. Because one day you might actually just end up in the wrong place. You know what is sin? The explanation or the definition of sin is missing the mark. Look, I'm not a darts player by any means. I can throw the thing and, you know, in the house that I grew up, there's little holes next to the board against the wall. That's kind of where my dart skill level is. But missing the mark is if you even miss the bull's eye, that's missing the mark. And the Lord has a very specific way for us to live our lives. Amen? That's called holiness. That's hitting the mark. And if we are 1 degree off, it's actually not pleasing to the Lord. And so this morning, I'm hoping to encourage us that we aim for Jesus and we live lives that hit the mark, on course for where He wants us to be. Not being 1 degree off, but actually on point where He wants us to be. You know, just as we. This is, I'm talking about this illustration of the plane one being 1 degree off. I really believe it's a scheme of the devil, actually, is actually not to just tell you, hey, you need to be 100 degrees off. What he tells you is 1 degree off is all right. That's the way the devil wants to derail us, wants to push us into sin. He wants us to drift. There was I don't know if I've told the story, but years ago, a friend of mine took me onto the Vaal Rivier. I don't know if some of you have been to the Vaal Rivier. It's up north. I know you're spoiled with the ocean, yeah, but coming from Bloemfontein, the Vaal Rivier is like the ocean for us. And so we went to the Vaal Rivier on this little boat, and we went fly fishing. It was my first time fly fishing, and I didn't know how it works, and he kind of showed me beforehand how it works, and we're on this little boat and we are trying our best to catch something. And the river was quite quiet and we're just floating around. And the next moment, as we were still fishing, we were in the trees. And suddenly we realized, oh my goodness, we've drifted into a place of danger. At one point, we were so comfortable, we were doing our thing. And the next moment, we were like, oh my goodness, we are on our way to a dangerous place. And that's the scheme of the enemy often in our lives. We don't realize we are drifting until it's almost too late. And can I encourage us this morning? It's not too late. The very fact that we are here this morning means that the Lord has a purpose and a plan for you. And even if you might have drifted, it's not too late for you to come back onto course where Jesus wants us to be. So don't let the devil let you drift. He wants you to drift. Oh man, we want to be where Jesus is. That is where the safety is. That is where his security is when we are in him, on point with him. And so this morning you're sitting here and I want to tell you that the Lord has a purpose for each one of you. God has a plan for your life. And I've always asked this question, what can stop us from walking in what God has for us? Is there anything that can stop us in walking in his plan? And I want to say, not the devil. The devil can't stop you from walking in his plan. Your circumstances can't stop you from walking in God's plan. But I do believe there's one thing that can stop us from walking in God's plan. It's you. You can stop the plan of God in your life. The very thing that can stop me from walking in the plan that God has for me is me. And I sometimes think we forget it. We live lives. No, man, I can just do whatever I want to. What will happen will happen. You know, I can live in sin, but God is gracious. He is gracious and he is kind and he is merciful. But if we walk in ongoing, if we live an ongoing lifestyle of being off course, you're going to miss the mark. And God is gracious to bring us back. But you can stop the plan that God actually has for you. If you turn your back on him, if you turn away from him, if you miss the mark, we can miss what God wants to do. You know, and I'm looking back at my life, and I've got so many friends that around me that studied theology with me, went to Bible school with me. You know, God did amazing things in them and through them. And I look at some of their lives now and I'm like, what happened to you? How did you end up being in this place? And maybe some of you know people in your life that they were at once passionate for Jesus. They were living full on for him. But now when you look at their lives, like, where are you? What happened? Drift happened. Where God wants us to be with him. And so this morning I want to just briefly speak about leading yourself well. Leading yourself well. I believe that is how we can make sure that God's plan gets formed in us so that he can live through us, is if we lead ourselves well. But if we neglect leading ourselves well, we might miss the mark. We might drift. And so it's important that we lead ourselves well. The Bible is full of talking about a race, a running race. And some of you I know is into running as well. And to run a race, you need a good foundation. You need the quality of your training, discipline. Richard talked about surrender last week, the last couple of weeks, about surrender, making sure that you are prepared. You've got the right foundation in place. And can I just say, you don't wake up one morning being fit. All right? I know, Jaden, you might be close to that. You're waking up one morning being fit. But it doesn't work that way. I wish it did. It would have been much easier. But you don't. You have to train. You need to prepare. You need to position yourself to get fit. And I want to read a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to read from verse 25 to 27. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Can I just say, we don't just drift into God's will. We don't just wake up one morning, oh, just fell in God's will this morning. Oh, wow, that's nice. No, it doesn't work that way. We position ourselves in God's will. We position ourselves in Him, doing the work, doing the training, submitting ourselves to Him, positioning ourselves in Him. That's how we lead ourselves to be a people of God. You don't just drift into it one morning. And I know it is countercultural to even share on this message because we want everything quickly. We're living in an instant world, in an instant culture. We want everything instant. Where often maturity comes over time. Maturity comes over a time of positioning yourself in God, directing your life to Him, working at things to become more like Him. There's no such thing as instant maturity. It's often formed over time. And so, what is the course of your future this morning? What is the direction of your life? What are you aiming at as you're sitting here this morning? Do you feel like you are that runner that runs aimlessly? Do you perhaps feel like I am that boxer that just, you know, boxes the air and you feel like you are significant where it's just air? Is your life aimed at Him this morning? And so I'm going to just mention a couple of practical things this morning to help us lead ourselves to be where Jesus is. Firstly, are you guys with me? Okay. Firstly, self-discipline. That's actually a fruit of the Spirit. Did you know that? Self-discipline is a fruit of the Spirit. So if you are full of Jesus, if you are full of the Spirit, guess what the fruit will be? A lot of things, but self-discipline will be one of them. And this is a difficult one because self-discipline requires work from us. It requires work from us. And can I just say that it is your responsibility for your own actions. The way you act is your responsibility. The decisions you make is your responsibility. I totally believe in leadership and accountability, and I'll get there just now. But at the end of the day, it's your responsibility for your actions and your decisions. That is self-discipline. And so, we need to do the small things well. We need to do the small things well. It's often easy to, in an online kind of culture that we live in, to do the big things seemingly well, right? I mean, you look at all these famous people, they're standing there and their smiles and the nice suit and their smiles, but what's happening in their personal lives? What's really happening behind the scenes? You've got a beautiful upfront kind of facade and you look like you've got your life together, but what's really happening? That's why be careful to just listen to whoever is on YouTube. You don't know their lives. I love being part of Josh Jennon for 12 because I know the people personally. I know their marriage. I know their personal walk with the Lord. There's a credibility that it might not always be as smooth as this guy or that guy, but I know their personal lives. And that brings me a confidence that I know that they are people doing the small things well and not just seemingly the big things. And listen, God watches the small things, eh? He watches the small things. He's aware of the small things. If you want to do big things for God, we need to learn how to do the small things well. God watches. Secondly, just on how we can lead ourselves is time with the Lord. Listen, it feels like this morning is I'm sharing some basic things. It's like, oh yeah, I've heard that before. You know, give me something that will tickle my ears or something more intellectual. If we can't get the basics right, man, you're not going to do the big things well for the Lord. Time with the Lord. Your time with Him is your anchor and your compass. Is that how you say compass, your compass. Time with Him, He is our anchor. If we don't have time with Him, we will be like someone on the boat, drifting, without an anchor, without any direction. Time with Him is something we need to prioritize. Listen, I've got a three-month-old baby, and a two-year-old boy that's running around like crazy. Luckily, Oma is here to help us out a bit. It is difficult to prioritize my time with the Lord. There are many reasons. There are many things that I can use to justify why I'm not getting to Him. But in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our busyness, we need to prioritize our time with the Lord. Because He is my anchor. He is my hope. Man, we need to protect those times with them. Protect it. If you're too busy to get to Jesus, you're too busy. We need to protect it and prioritize it. Stay close to Him. That's how we lead ourselves. Thirdly, let's see how far we get. In leading ourselves is accountability. It's a big word. But being accountable is essential in the way we lead ourselves. There's a saying that goes, when we are foolish, we want to conquer the world. When we are wise, we want to conquer ourselves. It's great that we want to change the world. We want to conquer the world, yes, but let's start with ourselves. Let's start with ourselves. If you can't lead yourself, if you can't conquer yourself, man, what do we have to give? What do we have to give? And that's the reason why many gifted people, people with lots of talent, lots of skill, they fall. Many big church leaders nowadays, you guys know about it, many guys. It's not because of a lack of skill or a lack of talent. It's because of a lack of character. It's a lack of accountability. A lack of people coming alongside them, leading one another into the more of the Lord. And we're not exempt from it, eh? We're not. And accountability isn't just, you know, explaining your decisions after you've made a decision. That's just, you're just letting me know. That's not accountability. Accountability is, man, I seek perspective beforehand. I seek perspective beforehand. We're not here to control. And that's often, you know, something we struggle with accountability is, you're telling me what to do. You're telling me what I can and cannot do. That's not, you're missing the point. It's about giving perspective. There's a saying, you measure twice and cut once. That's accountability. Measure twice so that you only have to cut once. But often in haste or impatience or whatever the case may be, we neglect dotting our I's and crossing our T's, right? We don't get the right perspective. And so we just make a decision hastily and then we end up having to cut twice. Get perspective before the time. It will save you so many issues. It will save you so many problems. It can actually help you not to live in sin. It's by getting perspective. Don't wait until you make a mistake. There's a saying, life is too short to learn from your own mistakes. So let's learn from others, from their mistakes. That is wisdom. Especially some of the younger people, yeah, me included, I'll fall under the younger category, right? You included, Andre. But can we open our lives to get perspective? When you need to make a decision about work or finances or whatever the case may be, get perspective. So accountability doesn't have to be this big, scary word. It's just inviting perspective in so that we can stay the course. All right. Leading ourselves well is essential. And I want to say, I don't want to trap on tone this morning. But if you want to lead, you need to learn to follow. Leading yourself starts by following well. You cannot lead well if you haven't learned to follow well. Because you'll reap what you sow. I'm telling you, that is a principle straight from God. You will reap what you sow. How do you want someone to follow you when you lead one day? That's how you follow. Does that make sense? How do you want people to follow you? Let's say you are the lead elder. How do you want people to follow you? So why aren't you following that way, in the same way? We need to set an example, not just in leading, but in following. We're living in a life where it's all about the guy up front. It's all about the one person, and many things fall apart because it's built on one pillar. But we are a priesthood of believers. We are living stones that God has formed together. It's like a brick wall with different bricks. We all have a part to play. And if you're in a season, listen, I think we all need to be a people that follows. If no one follows, I feel like that's unhealthy leadership. Like even Andrew Selly, who leads Josh Jen and 412, he's a guy under submission. He's a guy under authority. And being under authority is actually the very thing that gives you authority. And so if you want to lead the people of God in your life, learn to follow. Learn to be under. There's nothing wrong with being under. There's no ladder to climb. It's about being in your rightful place so that God can use you. But leading yourself starts by following others well. Does it make sense, Andre? And it requires humility, eh? It does. It requires humility. Because often we think, I can do it better. Why did you do it that way? Oh man, you should have done this. You should have done that. And it requires humility that it's God that raises up. It's God that brings us through. And so we need to put our confidence in Him. If you feel overlooked, if you feel like you are on the bench, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Stay the course. Do the basics well. And let's just watch God do His thing. It requires humility. 1 Peter 5, verse 6, and I'm almost done. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Isn't that comforting this morning? That maybe you feel like, yo, there's so much that I want to do for God. I've got this big call in my life, but I just don't feel like it's happening. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up. Let's be a people that we should actually say, it's God that lifted me up. It's God that raised me up. I'm not self-appointed. I didn't raise myself up. I didn't fight for position. It was God that raised me up. And let's be humble. And then my last point. To lead ourselves well, it requires time and it requires patience. It requires time and patience. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle, and then be patient. Almost like a swear word in today's life, eh? Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's difficult. That's difficult, eh? Being patient. And I want to say that godly ambition it can be a good thing, but it has to be a godly ambition. The Bible speaks about if you aspire to be an elder, you're aspiring a noble task. And so there's a desiring for the more of the Lord. I actually want to question, if you're not desiring for more of the Lord, is it perhaps that your heart has grown cold? Because if your heart is on fire for Him, man, you are desiring for more of Him. And so it can be a godly ambition to do more for Him, making your life count, but impatience is not a godly thing. Impatience is not a godly thing. It will lead us to look for shortcuts. Listen, I'm all for efficiency, eh? I'm all for it, but I'm not for not about shortcuts. Shortcuts will derail us from the will of the Lord. But embracing His timing, embracing His processes in our lives, I believe that is where we will end up being in His will. Not looking for shortcuts. You know, if you're long enough in Josh Jen, you kind of know what the loopholes are. You know what's the hoops to jump through. What's the right things to say and not to say, and how to posture yourself, and where to stand in worship, and you know, how to position your arm at the right angle. And just a joke, but after a while, we kind of know what the hoops are. Can we allow the Lord to form His very will in us so that we can be where He is? Don't look for shortcuts. Trust in His timing. Trust in His timing. And this doesn't make us passive. But in being active for the Lord, there's a patience. You get what I'm saying? There's a patience knowing that He is in control. Not everything is instant, eh? And I do think most of the time the Lord works in us in a slow cooker type of way. A slow cooker type of way. Where you put something into the slow cooker this morning, and you wait. And you wait. You wait a little bit longer. Then you get hungry and you need to wait a little bit longer. Where the world says, no, man, God is like a microwave. Just, it's on. There you go. There you go. There's your miracle. There's your breakthrough. Yo, hey. I think the Lord is more interested in your heart and in the process that He's busy with. And it can feel to us like a slow cooker. Is this thing ever going to get ready? Where the world says, no, man, just it's a microwave. We need to learn to trust the Lord in His timing. There's no such thing as instant maturity. It requires time, requires patience. And just one final thought. It's a bit of a different topic, but just on the topic of everything instant, everything quickly, and it's about finances. And I want to read this quickly in Proverbs. Did I give it to you? Proverbs 13. Listen to this. Pride leads to arguments. Those who take advice are wise. And listen to this scripture. When I read it, I was like, what is this even in the Bible? Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows. How funny is this that the Lord has put this scripture in the Bible? And I want to encourage us, those having careers, those building wealth or whatever, avoid the hype. Choose consistency. Budget, save, think long term. And I want to say it's about slow, steady obedience when it comes to our walk with the Lord. I'm not a financial advisor, but I'm someone that reads scripture, and there's wisdom in scripture, and Proverbs is a wisdom literature, and so we need to read the word. And it talks about finances, but in every area of our life, we need to base our life on His word. And when it comes to us walking with Jesus, remember that slow, steady obedience matters. It's not a quick fix thing. It starts with, where are you positioned? What is your trajectory? And maybe this morning you realize, yo, I think I need to realign my life again. Maybe I've drifted one degree off. No one is recognizing it. None of those passengers on the plane will recognize the fact that we are one degree off. No one. But the Lord has a life for you to live. It's in His will. And I want us to make sure this morning that we are aligned with Him. That we are not one degree off. That we are on point, hitting the mark. Because man, I want to land where Jesus wants me to land. I want His will to form in me so that I can live for Him and so that He can live through me.